Just so you're not nervous, Salsa Sunday does not find its way into the morning. I won't be doing any salsa dancing up here or anything like that. So just be, yes. I would cheer that as well. Thank you, Robert. Many of our staff were gone this week at a conference down in Georgia, had a wonderful time, and just encouraged by some of the things we see around the country in terms of different ministries. It's interesting, here we are down in Georgia, and I'm standing in line for lunch, and someone says to me, "Hey, so where are you from?" And I said, "New York." And they said, "What everyone asks when you say you're from New York, are you from the city or upstate?" I said, "Oh, from upstate." "Oh, really? What part of upstate?" I said, "In the Rochester area." "Oh, really? Whereabouts?" "I have relatives in Fairport." Like, well, I'm two towns away in Victor. So it's amazing how huge a world we live in, and then how small a world it is in so many ways. And I think that's true about the Christian community as well. Just to be together with folks from not only around our country, but around the world. I think they mentioned 44 states and like 19 countries or some crazy number, thinking we're all gathering there. And yet, just like us this morning, we were worshiping together under one name. And that's a really cool thing. We have just, over the last several weeks, wrapped up a series called 24/7, where we talked about walking with Jesus 24/7. And we went through scripture to understand what it means to walk with Jesus 24/7 and how that prepares us for the opportunities that God is preparing behind the scenes for us. And you may wonder, well, why is this important? I mean, isn't 24/7, isn't that like for the radically religious people? Isn't that for really for someone else? It's interesting when we look at the life and ministry of Jesus, when he encountered deeply religious people, they usually rejected him. It's interesting that we note that. And maybe the question lingers, well, where does this all come from? What makes this so compelling? Why is this so important? And over the next several weeks, I just want to talk about and share with you from Scripture the foundation from which all this springs forth. Why is it important to walk with Jesus 24/7? Why is Jesus important at all? And so I'd like to look at two passages of Scripture this morning. The first one is in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, specifically verses 44 through 46. So if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to turn there and follow along. If you don't have a Bible, you'll probably find one under a chair around you. Would love it if you grab that so that you could follow along. Maybe you're familiar with this passage, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're just here checking things out and you're wondering what this church thing is all about. Well, this is a good day to be here checking it out, because we're going to talk about this morning, what is the foundation of why all this other stuff seems so important? And so if we look at Matthew chapter 23, or Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, we find that Jesus is talking, he's teaching, and he's actually in this section where he gives three examples of two stories. And this is the third example of two stories. The first set was the sower and the weeds. The second set was the mustard seed and the yeast. And then we'll see here in these few short verses, the treasure and the pearl. And so follow along, if you would, verses 44 through 46, if you have a Bible. If not, you can just listen. Here's what Jesus says. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." So what we see here is two stories, but one principle. There's two stories here, but one principle. And that's that one principle that we want to land on for a few moments this morning. And it's interesting that he has two stories for one principle. You know, one of the things that I always recognized as a child growing up is when my parents repeated themselves, they were serious. I don't know about you, but that was true in our house. I found that true as a parent as well. If I was repeating myself, like, I'm not joking, I'm serious about this, and here Jesus is repeating himself, you get the feeling he wants us to get this. He wants us to understand it. It's funny. Sometimes when I'm explaining something and Tina's there, sometimes I apparently have a tendency to over-explain things, whether it's to Tina or someone else. You know, I'll give example, I'll give this example. Let me give you another example. Have you thought about it this way? I'll give you another example. And sometimes Tina will say, Steve, they get it. Jesus wants us to get it. He doesn't want us to miss this one principle. And he says this, the kingdom of heaven, by the way, that phrase Jesus only seems to use in the Gospel of Matthew 32 times. Other times we see the kingdom of God. We see that phrase. They seem to be used interchangeably in Scripture. But he says in each of these, the kingdom of heaven is like. In other words, not is, but is like. He's using a object lesson, a symbolic story. He's saying this, I'm telling you this to help you understand what's going on here. And he says this, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, or a pearl, as some versions say, a pearl of great price. Here, the NIV says he found one of great value. It's interesting because in each of these, there's some searching that's going on, right? If you look at the second of the two stories, it's like a merchant searching, looking for fine pearls. In the first, the treasure hidden in a field, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field when a man found it. Now, if you think about finding something that's been hidden, you apparently, obviously, must be looking for something. You're searching. And what's true about all of us is as we go through this life, we're searching for things. Some in their teens right now are searching for the answer to what's the next season of life going to look like. Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to study? What am I pursuing? Am I going to meet somebody? Right? We're on this search. Then we get through that phase. We're searching for, well, where am I going to find employment? Where am I going to live? Not just where am I going to live in general, like what part of the country or what town, probably somewhat connected to where am I going to work, but where am I going to live? Am I going to get an apartment? Am I going to buy a house? Am I going to get roommates? What's going on? And you and I know that ultimately we're all searching for answers to some very basic questions, whether we're here or whether we've never stepped foot in a church or never planned to step foot in a church. All of us on the planet Earth have some basic questions we're searching for answers to. Where did I come from? And why am I here? And what's my purpose? How can I make a difference? Those are some basic questions that everyone grapples with at some point. And so we have in these two stories, we have some people who are searching. Maybe at times you found yourself searching. Maybe you're here this morning and there's some things you're still searching out. But I think that's a dynamic that all of us experience at different levels, at different times, but most assuredly at some point in our lives we ask those questions and we're searching. And so we have these two stories that Jesus tells to help us understand the principle at work here. And one of the first things that I notice is that people are searching. In the first story, there's treasure that's been hidden in a field. You might think, well, that's strange. And for us today, it is. We put our treasure other places, like safety deposit boxes and banks and safes and things like that. Well, it was more common in biblical times that you would hide treasure, and oftentimes in an agricultural society, you'd bury it somewhere. There's documentaries on TV nowadays about people trying to find buried treasure different places. I think one I saw, The Curse of Oak Island. Has anyone seen that? Is that about buried treasure somewhere? Okay, I haven't watched it. But apparently some of you have, right? We get the idea of searching for buried treasure, and that's what Jesus is giving us this picture of. And it wasn't uncommon back then, so apparently this person is searching for something valuable. And in both situations, whether you're searching for buried treasure or searching for fine pearls, in both situations, when they found what they were looking for, they stopped searching. And isn't it true about you and I, when we find the answers we're looking for, the search is over. There's no need to continue the search. We're done. And he's telling us that the kingdom of heaven, knowing God through Christ, that's the kingdom of heaven. When we find what we're looking for, we don't need to keep searching. And here he says that when a man found it, what did he do? He hid it again. He tucked it away. And notice what he says, and in his joy went and sold all that he had. See, one of the things we have to recognize is at the foundation of all that we're talking about and have been talking about and will talk about is that there is something of greatest value. That a relationship with God through Christ is of greatest value. Now, we may not think about knowing Christ that way, but Jesus talked about knowing him that way. A treasure hidden in a field, a pearl of great value. And knowing Jesus is of greatest value. We just sang about it. I don't know if you remember the words we actually sang. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. Many of you know me. You know that I enjoy the hunt. I enjoy hunting. It's, by the way, it's turkey season, so don't go walking in the woods making little cackle sounds. But I also enjoy the hunt of finding a good deal. And you might ask me the question, well, Steve, how do you know it's a good deal? Like, how do you figure that out? And I think I can universally say, and you would probably agree, a good deal is when what you receive is greater than the cost. Would you agree with that? So if you ask me, hey, is that a good deal? Well, I don't know. You could probably find it cheaper here, or you could get more for your money here, because a good deal is about finding great value for a little cost, right? And Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven as this great treasure. Knowing him is of greatest value. The other thing we notice here, as I said, each one who was searching stopped searching. Notice what it says in verse 44, then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field in his joy. You see, it's not just that knowing Jesus, having a relationship with God through Christ, is of greatest value, but it brings great joy. I don't know if that person went away and were reading into the story when we ask these questions. But if the person, after rehiding the hidden treasure, went away thinking, oh, but man, I'm going to have to sell that, I'm going to have to get rid of that, like if they went away regretful, like, oh, man, we don't get that impression at all. In fact, it says, in his joy, he went away. In his joy. There was no regret in what was going to be given up. The one who found the pearl of great value says, went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. There's great joy in knowing Christ, great joy in a relationship with him, and the greatest value because knowing him makes everything else pale in comparison. Do we really believe what we sang a few moments ago, that we lay down all lesser things for greater gain? Maybe this passage sheds a little bit of light on that part of that worship song. It's interesting to me that when we see this, we see that there is the happily sacrificed for the incomparably valued. Happily sacrificed. You know, I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've had conversations about religion. Anybody have a conversation with somebody just about religion in general? Just we're talking about religion, we're talking about faith. And it's interesting to me that oftentimes Jesus, Christianity, or faith in Christ is looked at as merely one of the options available. And depending on your particular bent, it's the best of the options available. Faith in Jesus is, like, there's good options, and maybe that's one of the good options. There's options available. But we don't see that dynamic in Scripture. We don't see Jesus being one of the really good options when it comes to faith. What we see is Jesus is the only option for authentic faith. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven as the pearl of great price or a treasure hidden in a field, it doesn't say that, well, he went away and, you know, sold some stuff so he could add that treasure to his portfolio so that he could, you know, cover all his options. You also know that I enjoy riding a motorcycle once in a while. And part of that is on a forum that talks about the particular motorcycles, and people ask questions back and forth. You guys know forums like that, right? And so someone was asking a question about their motorcycle, and clearly their motorcycle was not doing very well. And so then they kept asking questions about this additive or that additive, and go to Walmart and spend $378 and get that and pour it in, and that'll fix it. And clearly that was not the issue with... Clearly, he had blown up his motor. And I was thinking about that this week a little bit as I was thinking about this message. And one of the other guys there that was giving feedback, I don't put a lot on there, but it sure is interesting to read. And at one point, after describing all the symptoms, one of the other experts on there simply posted this. I don't think this is an additive issue. I think you need a new engine. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, how often do we treat Jesus as like an additive? I'm just gonna like add Jesus into my life. And what really, the principle we see here is, no. Let's change out. Let's change out my best efforts with a little sprinkle of Jesus for Jesus. Because that's really, a lot of times, what some of those ideologies come down to, isn't it? I'm going to do my best efforts, I'm going to sprinkle in a little Jesus, and hopefully everything's going to be okay. But faith in Christ is not an additive issue. Faith in Christ is, we get a new engine. We get a whole new engine, a whole new something that drives our life, a whole new something that fuels and powers how we go through this life. We get a whole new engine. Jesus is not just the best of the religious options. He's the only option. And that's why following him 24/7 is so significant and so important. Turn over the other passages, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians was a letter written to the church at Philippi by a guy named Paul. Paul was an impressive individual. If we would have had his resume come in for any job we wanted here in our ministry or any other ministry, probably Paul's resume would be super impressive. In fact, he gives it in the preceding verses. Verse 4, the second half of verse 4, he says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day because he was of a Jewish descent of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul was saying, I had it all going. And then he shifts gears in verse 7. Notice what Paul says. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, I found a treasure. I found a treasure and I sold it all. I found a pearl of great price and I went away so that I can come back and buy that pearl. Paul was saying, I consider everything. Everything that I could, in my human resume building world, I consider all of that nothing. And that might be something that we could look at somebody other than Paul and go, well, yeah, because you hadn't accomplished very much at all anyway. That wasn't true about Paul. That's why he said what he said in those preceding verses. Like, hey, my stack of accomplishments was pretty high. But compared to knowing Christ, nothing. I like the way the New American Standard puts these verses. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as lost for the sake of Christ. Paul goes on to say, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In view of, with that as my focal point, with that as my view, my target, my goal, to know Christ, all these other things pale in importance, pale in comparison. So when we talk about following Jesus 24/7, why is that so important? Why is that so critical? It's because there's nothing more important than a relationship with God through Christ. That is the foundation of all the other things that we do. I wonder this morning if those two simple stories resonate with you at all. Have you thought about what's most important, what's most valuable to you? I know what's most valuable to Jesus. I know because I know what he gave up for it. Right, the parable there says the one searching in the field and the one searching through the pearls, once they found what they were looking for, they gave up everything. That tells us how valuable that was to them. And I know what's most valuable to Jesus, and that's you. I know that because he gave up everything for you. He left heaven, and he came to this fallen, broken, messed up, upside down world. And what he endured in this world, in his brief time here, was more than any of us have. In fact, it was the compilation of all that we've endured, quite honestly. Because the burden of all of our sin was placed on him. And when we talk about people's sacrifice here on earth, we use phrases like the ultimate price, or he gave it all. And that's what Jesus did. He gave everything he had for you and for me. So I know what's most valuable to him. My question this morning is, what's most valuable to us? Because that is the foundation on which everything else in your life will be built, whatever is most valuable to you. And these two simple stories give us this one very significant principle. And he repeated it, he wants us to get it, that faith in Christ is the most significant, important thing. Having a relationship with him is worth more than anything else we could have or accomplish here on this earth. That is the foundation on which everything else gets built. And Paul, who had accomplished so much, said in his experience, all that, I don't consider that anything. I give all that up because I want to know Christ. I wonder, does that resonate with you this morning? Is there something in you that says, yes, I want that too? I desire that degree of significance in my relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Right where you're at, just take whatever posture of prayer you would like. I ask you to consider if you have found that of highest value, of highest importance, if you have recognized Christ is the one, Christ is that hidden treasure, Christ is that pearl, and having searched and searched, finding him, the search is over. There's no need to keep looking. There's only the need to respond, put our faith in him. Maybe up to this point in your life, you've kind of considered faith in Christ as a good sprinkle into your life, a good accessory, a good additive. And yet you recognize this morning, because of what Scripture has said and the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and mind this morning, that just adding Jesus in is not what Jesus invites us into. He invites us into a committed relationship with him. Father, this morning we are so grateful. Grateful that we recognize who you are. We recognize the importance of knowing you. And everything else we do, everything else we experience, everything else we hope to accomplish is built on the foundation of knowing you. And you send us back into this world and in lots of different avenues and paths that we each take day in and day out. But we do so knowing you, which allows for a completely different outlook, different trajectory, different attitude, different mindset. And so, Lord, this morning, would you just remind us and call us if we've been distant, Lord, may we hear that call back to you. If we've been searching, may we recognize the treasure that we find in knowing you. Lord, thanks so much that we easily see what was most valuable to you based on the price you were willing to pay for every life here in this room, every person here today. You put the highest value on us. Thank you for loving us that way. May we, Lord, respond to that kind of love. In loving you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.